It's just part of life in a rural area. Every so often, a vehicle and a deer will collide, damaging for the car, often deadly for the deer. There are lots of warning signs, but the deer can't read, and a lot of drivers don't change their approach when they see the signs along the roadside. And some country roads really rack up a deer death toll. Like Highway 97 on the way from Klamath Falls to Bend, a chunk of the highway in northern Klamath County is truly hazardous to deer. So the Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, is talking about an overpass so the deer and other wildlife can walk over the road, not on it. Peter Murphy is a public information officer with ODOT and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet.
Many rural areas have lots of deer. Is there just an exceptional load on this part of the road near Crescent?
Well, sort of yes and no. We've identified it as something of a hot spot on the Highway 97 corridor. It's a traditional migratory path for the deer that are summering up in the Cascades on the east side, and then they winter over up near Christmas Valley. So every spring and fall, we have something of a migration that takes place. And as it turns out, this area does experience a higher number than normal crashes involving deer. So given that and the damage and harm and hurt that it causes to the motorists, we thought it might be time to kind of duplicate what we've already done a little bit closer to Bend. So it's just time to do it, and we think we've got our handle on it.
What kinds of numbers are you seeing in the way of vehicle versus deer incidents?
Well, we measured a five-year period from 2005 to 2010, and we identified in this corridor, which is actually about 100 miles long, 1,200 or so deer deaths involved in that particular corridor. So that's about 200 a year, which is a pretty high number when it comes right down to it. So having identified the problem, it's time to come up with something of a solution. So we've taken a look around at other undercrossings and overcrossings and decided that probably there's a good spot down there. It's called Milepost 190, about 10 miles south of Crescent, where we think we could put something in that will eliminate by far and away the majority of those crashes.
Wow, when you think about that number, then if you're talking 200 a year, that's more than four a week on average.
Yeah, it's a pretty high number. Now, a lot of it takes place again during that migratory time of year. October seems to be the time of year when it happens worst, and also it seems that we're colliding with the elderly matrons of the herd, I guess that's the way to put it. And so it has a deleterious effect on the whole lifestyle of the deer that live down there, because the matron tends to be the one that leads the herd back and forth across the highway. So given that, there's a real problem that we're faced with, and we think we've come up with a solution.
Well, it sounds, Peter, like you've had extensive discussions with the folks at Oregon Fish and Wildlife.
They're a partner with us on this, as they have been on the other project that's up here a little bit closer to Bend. We partner with them. We have a couple of our own wildlife biologists here, but a gentleman named Simon Ray has been a big part of our research into the deer migration and what we might do about it. So ODFW and ODOT are our partners on this.
We are talking to Peter Murphy about the concept for a deer overpass over Highway 97 near Crescent in northern Klamath County. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Boyd in Wolf Creek. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Peter Murphy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to compliment ODOT on working with locals here in the Wolf Creek area. There is a recent upgrade of the interstate between Hugo and Glendale, and a handful of us made a presentation to ODOT about the need for controlling wildlife crossings and the incidence of roadkill. What I discovered in the process was that there's not a central data collection of roadkill incidents that I'm aware of so far.
Really, no statewide database, you're saying?
Right. There are hotspots identified, and so ODOT does respond. In our case, in Sunny Valley, 8-foot-high wildlife fencing was constructed on both sides of the highway, and I'm curious, does ODOT then follow up with data collection as to the effectiveness? In this case, it's a very least expensive kind of way of controlling roadkill, because we're funneling the critters under the highway using existing structures.
All right. Well, I can't speak directly for the whole state. I'm a specialist within the Central Oregon area, and I can say that for the one under crossing that we do have up here, yes, we have followed up, and we do take counts. There was an ongoing deer study, which I believe is still in effect, where we do tally the number of kill. And so we have a distinct set of documents from before our undercrossing near Sun River went in and today. And we determined that there were about 97 animals killed in a two-year period in that area. And to date, with the new undercrossing that we have had simply one. So I'm not sure the exact number, but that's nearly a 90% reduction in the number of fatalities that have occurred to the animals there, plus the damage, the harm, and the pain it causes for the motorists through there. So for our particular area, we have done the follow-ups, and we think that some kind of either overcrossing or undercrossing is the solution. And I appreciate your positive comments there.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Boyd. Appreciate that. So, Peter Murphy, what determines whether it's going to be an overcrossing or an undercrossing? I mean, it's just the terrain nearby, it seems like.
Well, that's part of it. I'm not a wildlife specialist, so I'll paraphrase to the best I can what they do, but it has to do with the sight distance. If the animals can see either under or over, that does a lot to encourage them to make the crossing. Up here in the proven case that we have, the undercrossing near Sun River, what we've done is created an environment that we hope mimics what they find out in the natural world. And so they can see that under the highway, the terrain looks very similar to what they've been in. They can actually see through the undercrossings there, so they can make their way from one side to the other. And we found it to be very successful. In the case of near Crescent, we've decided that the terrain is such that an overcrossing works better. There are some drainages that are in there that are pretty complicated, so we need to try to do something different, and the decision was to do an overcrossing in the area. And it's something where, you know, it's a gentle slope. It comes from a rise so that the deer, as they wander into the area, are essentially up above the terrain on the other side of the highway. So by using the overcrossing, they have that sight distance that's critical, and then we'll plant the same kind of trees and shrubs and sticks and rocks that they're kind of accustomed to, and hopefully mimic again the natural environment. But it's the sight distance that really makes a difference.
Sounds like there has to be a fair amount of sculpting and manicuring with these bits of construction, though, to make sure that the deer feel comfortable enough to use them.
Well, to some degree, although down on the Klamath side, it's really not that much that we have to do. There is some work that has to be done, you know, because you're putting concrete bridging in, and you've got to make that look more natural. But it's really kind of a minimal amount that has to take place. You know, a bulldozer and, you know, some heavy lifting can get the job done to make it look pretty good. So it really, the big expense is simply putting it in. And, you know, we've looked at about $1.5 million to $1.8 million on that. But we found over time that, if you will, the return on investment, you know, the amount of damage that isn't done, more than pays off for that kind of an investment.
$1.5 to $1.8 million for the overpass?
Yes, and the fencing that goes along with it.
Peter Murphy, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, public information officer with ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation. We're talking about a deer overcrossing being envisioned for Highway 97 near Crescent in northern Klamath County. Join us on the Exchange with your comments, questions, thoughts about getting wildlife and cars a little further separated. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. So 1.5 to 1.5. How does this compare, for example, to the cost of building a road bridge over a highway?
It would be, I'm not an engineer in charge of coming up with numbers, but it's less because you're not carrying the same weight. You know, the deer don't weigh as much as cars and trucks, so you're really not putting the same amount of materials, if you will, into the bridging itself. You do have the labor and the manpower, But once again, it's on the order of, you know, much diminished costs compared to putting in a car overpass. We did do that up here in the Sun River area and put in about, again, $1.5 million into, there's actually two, one dedicated to the animals and then one that they share with motor vehicles. And that was $1.5 million. So, you know, the relative costs are the same. But again, you put a little bit less into the structure for the animals since they don't have to carry the heavy weights of vehicles.
Right. You don't have 80,000-pound trucks rumbling over.
Yeah,
this
right.
thing.
Yeah.
So where do things go from here then? I mean, you've got a cost identified, but you don't have dollars allocated for this. Is that right?
Well, yeah, the way we approach these kinds of things is to develop the plan first. You've got a target, you know, you've got a problem, you come up with a plan to take care of it, and that's currently where we're at. So we'll have the specific plan finalized. That would mean the shape of the bridge, the distance it'll have to cover, and those kinds of things. And then you go look for funding, and our folks are familiar with the sources for that kind of funding. The federal government has helped a little bit up here in the Sun River area. Down Klamath Way, I'm not quite sure where we'll go, but there are multiple sources for which we'll go find these dollars, some of which is internal to ODOT, some of which is from the federal government, and then we'll ask people who are in a position to make those grants and make our case. And we think we've got a pretty solid one, given the essence, the examples that we have here in the Sun River area, the reduction in the number of deaths, and make a good case, and then we hopefully will get on the building end of it.
Let's take a call. Here's Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Peter Murphy from ODOT.
Yes.
Morning.
Good morning. Two questions. One, what happens to roadkill deer? Are they thrown in the nearest landfill? And two, how near to these overcrossings and undercrossings may people hunt?
All right. Interesting questions. Thanks for those, Mark.
That's a good question, that second one, because we have seen bow and arrow hunters fairly close to our undercrossings here in the Bend Sun River area. I'm not quite sure on how close you can be, but there are restrictions, at least in the, it's a national monument, the Newberry National Monument up here, about hunting generally. So those would apply, within, 50 yards or more to the undercrossings here. So I'm not quite sure what the restrictions would be, but no, there wouldn't be any rifle hunting nearby. And then as far as what happens to the carcasses, we generally return them to nature and the natural functions of the out-of-doors. We don't take them to a landfill. We find a place that is convenient and allow nature to take its course.
So not very far from where they fell, it sounds like.
Yeah. Again, this is something that happens out in nature, and so we, again, allow that to take its course.
In terms of design and concept for this deer overcrossing,
sure.
I mean, there are other states that do this. Are there any in Oregon at this point?
Well, the only other one is here in the Bend area, and it's, again, an undercrossing.
Right.
So that was the first of its kind in the state. We worked with the Forest Service, Sandra Jacobson, who's been a pro at this for quite some time. And all across the country and in Canada, there are about 600 of these, either overcrossings or undercrossings. So it's not a new idea. It's something that has been proven over time. And Sandra has been a partner with us on the one that we have here, and I believe she's partnering on the one down near Klamath. So I think we've found that over time there are methods that have been tried and proven across North America. So we're fairly comfortable with it. Now, there are tweaks, if you will, that happen for each of these. A lot of questions are raised, well, if you leave the on-ramps and the off-ramps to the highway, won't the deer just go along those? So in the Sun River area, we've actually put an electric fence on the highway on those ramps so that we give a heads up to the deer, if you will, that they're in the wrong place. So between that and the fence, you know, we kind of customized it for the area up here, and I'm sure there'll be the same kind of tweaking that takes place on the one down on the Klamath side.
I know I saw a posting on Facebook probably a couple of months ago now with somebody saying, hey, look what they have in Alaska and Canada. They showed some overcrossings for deer and elk and caribou and whatever else they were. But a lot of people seem to be oohing and aahing over the concept. So it sounds like there's a lot of interest in doing this.
Well, you know, it accomplishes a couple of goals. It's a positive thing. It doesn't really cost that much. It pays off in the long run. So it's an effective tool that we found over time. And I think there's, you know, emotional, logical, financial support for it, particularly when you realize that, you know, you are doing a real disservice damage to the migration concept, that the institutional knowledge, if you will, of the herds. You know, the more you take out the matrons, really you're doing damage to that migratory instinct that they have. And I think here, particularly in the Northwest Oregon, you find that there is popular support for doing this kind of thing. And then you add on to it the success that we've experienced. And I think you've got a winning combination, and we're all in favor of it.
Best case scenario, Peter Murphy, when do you think the overcrossing could be built?
Oh, probably 17, 18, somewhere in there. They have to kind of line up with the rest of our construction projects, and we've sort of tapped out through 15. So it takes a while to put the design together. That'll be done this year again. And I think it'll take probably a year to find the appropriate funds. That puts us into 15 of next year. And then it takes a while for the state process to unfold. So I wouldn't imagine before 16, more likely 17, 18. But the momentum is moving forward, and you know, we've got it in our sights, and we'll mix it in with all the other projects that we have.
Okay, so 3-4 years potentially before we see this overcrossing for deer near Crescent. Peter Murphy is a public information officer for ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet, Jeffrey.
Good to have you.